taking responsibility for actions. That's something new for Washington, D.C. To get specific, here's the purveyor of political accountability, Dan Newman.
And it is Thursday, June the 14th. You know, normally we do Tuesday bullets, but we had a Singapore interruption for the last few days to talk about, and so we missed bullet points a couple of days ago. So let's look and listen to some very intriguing and very important bullet points today. And before we get started, let me just say something that I thought was very unusual. You know, television ratings are done every day nationally, and they break out the television ratings based on broadcast television stations. Those are the big broadcast networks, ABC, CBS, NBC, and Fox, not Fox News, but Fox. Those are broadcast. They reach far, far more homes than the other kind, which are the cable stations, like Fox News, CNN, MSNBC, CNBC. Those are cable, which you have to pay extra for those, and therefore there are not nearly as many of those stations on the air. The ratings came out, the national ratings came out Tuesday night, first time I think ever. The number one rated show on Tuesday in the United States, including broadcast and cable, was the Sean Hannity show from Fox News. And of course, Sean got an exclusive interview with President Donald Trump. Sean was in Singapore, and after the meeting between Trump and Kim Jong-un of North Korea, Sean interviewed him. So kind of a spectacular thing for news junkies that Sean Hannity was number one. Let's do this. We've got three different things we're going to talk about today. In this first segment, we'll begin talking about sealed federal indictments. Do you remember that I reported that since October 31st of last year, from each federal court in the United States, every federal district court was included in this, approximately 32,000 indictments have been issued by these courts, and every one of those indictments were sealed. In other words, nobody knows what they were about, who got the indictments, what attorney, the judge, any of that kind of stuff, or what the contents of the indictments referred to. We did not know who and which law enforcement agency sought them, what they are regarding. But we suspected that some or even all of them may be regarding sexual crimes in America. Remember this, Donald Trump during his campaign and after the election but before his inauguration promised his Justice Department would aggressively investigate, find, and indict perpetrators of sexual crimes that include especially crimes against children, pedophilia, child pornography, sex trafficking, and prostitution. Well, it has started. A massive raid carried out against suspected child sex offenders netted more than 2,300 arrests across the United States. That's according to the Justice Department yesterday, as it vowed to strike back against these repugnant crimes. That's a quote from their release. The three-month operation that they have dubbed Broken Heart ended in May after being conducted by Internet Crimes Against Children, and that's called the ICAC, task force located in all 50 states, comprised of more than 4,500 law enforcement agencies at the federal, state, local, and tribal levels, yes, on Indian, Native American reservations. No child should ever have to endure sexual abuse, according to Attorney General Jeff Sessions in a statement he released. He continued, and yet in recent years, certain forms of modern technology have facilitated the spread of child pornography and created greater incentives for its production. We at the Department of Justice are determined to strike back against these repugnant crimes. The Justice Department said 195 of those arrested were involved with producing child pornography or have committed child sexual abuse. The investigation also identified 383 children who had suffered abuse. The raid targeted suspects who produced and distributed child porn, engaged children online or in person for sexual purposes, and participated in child sex trafficking. During the course of the operation, the task force has investigated more than 25,200 complaints of technology-facilitated crimes against children and delivered more than 3,700 presentations on internet safety to over 390,000 youth and adults. The DOJ added that in a statement. The Justice Department says the ICAC program, since its launch in 1998, has resulted in more than 83,000 arrests. So, of those approximate 32,000 sealed indictments that we reported had been accumulated and issued by courts, federal courts in districts all over the United States, it seems that 2,300 of them have been unsealed and arrests made. Here at dnewman.org, we'll keep you posted. We'll be watching closely, as I'm certain the Department of Justice is going to take action on those other approximate 30,000 sealed indictments. Let's move on today with our bullet points. This is titled Christians Against President Trump. Now, this one has really bugged me for a long time, since the campaign, not even beginning after the election, during the campaign, in the wake of two presidential terms in which a U.S. president virtually abandoned many basic Christian principles while at the same time endorsing other religions and their methodologies throughout the United States. I have wondered just how some American Christians could justify their spewed venom and obvious disdain for this president, Donald Trump. I hear that shared concern of this from many fellow Christians. Longtime Christian evangelist and speaker Mario Murillo, who I met years ago, he weighed in recently with his thoughts on the matter and his conclusions. Now, we normally on this show, we don't get into religious matters, but I think this is really pivotal. Christianity is not a religion. It's an experience. Rather than try to piece together my own explanation for all this to you, let's listen and talk about what Mario Murillo had to say about it. This is a direct quote of his post note that he wrote. Here we go. He said, "I am surprised and even shocked at some Christians. They are the Christians who hate Trump. Let's call it for what it is, hate. It is their hate, strange for professed Christians, that dulls their ability to see the inaccuracy of their comments and their myopic views. One sanctimonious ranting Christian said, there's nothing biblical about Donald Trump. Actually, there's nothing biblical about that statement. The prophet Daniel served Nebuchadnezzar. Daniel recognized the role the pagan king played in God's unfolding drama. The church's ability to work with Trump is totally biblical." And we're quoting evangelist Mario Murillo in this. He continued, "Now I must clarify, lest I incur the wrath of Trump supporters. I am not calling Trump a pagan king. I'm sure he is much more moral than his enemies know. I'm saying that if Daniel could work with Nebi, how much more we can work with the Donald. I tried hard to figure out believers who hate Trump. Our side won a long overdue and miraculous victory, and they choose to aid and abet the other side. Is it because their favorite Christian didn't win, and they are sour grapes? Why didn't these conservative Christians hold Reagan to the same standard? They adored him, even while Nancy was studying horoscopes in the White House. They didn't require any president to be a squeaky clean pastor until Donald Trump was elected. Yes, his tweets can be a bit much, and okay, President Trump is not as smooth as Reagan, but maybe we don't need smooth right now. But there is something else that is really strange. Hypocritical is more like it. Why didn't these guardians of morality speak out against Obama? T.D. Jakes even attacked Franklin Graham for questioning Obama's Christian faith, told him not to judge a brother. Hold that thought as we explore another question. How could you not question Obama's Christianity? Obama begged the question by dropping the Christian card whenever it suited him, something Trump never does. Meanwhile, Barack fought for same-sex marriage, late-term abortions, and was the most biblically hostile president in our history. And for those of you who want to get some details about the Obama actions on our website. I've posted a link in this story, today's story, Thursday the 14th, for you to go to. Back to T.D. Jakes, and we continue with Mario Murillo. He said, so why do so many Christian leaders who said it was wrong to judge Obama judge Donald Trump? Trump is not a pastor. He is a businessman who loves America. As far as his faith, Murillo says, I am not qualified to determine his spiritual depth since I've never had the chance to meet the man. He is like Hitler, and the church is being fooled, said another commenter. Please remove your tinfoil hats and listen to this. Hitler never had 98% of the media against him. Trump has never called for a new constitution. Hitler never tried to protect Israel. I could go on and on. Murillo finished with these points. Maybe if Trump had been the first president to address the March for Life. Maybe if he had chosen an on-fire, born-again vice president. Maybe if he has rescinded executive orders that banned federal funds from Christian organizations. Maybe if he overruled the Johnson Amendment that banned the free speech of pastors. Maybe if he had moved the American embassy to Jerusalem. Maybe if he had put someone on the Supreme Court who helped Christian bakers practice freedom of religion. Maybe then you would support him. Oh, wait, Murillo says. He did all that. God has done a miracle, and the enemy wants to make short work of the amazing breakthroughs we are witnessing by dividing the church. Instead of being a religious outlier, you should be thanking God, praying, supporting the president, and voting. All of that from evangelist Mario Murillo. Back after this at dnewman.org.
Hey, Thirst, can I try out a few Coke Summer sound effects on you?
Yes.
Cool. You okay with this?
Yes.
And this?
Yes.
And what about this? Gotcha there, Thirst. That wasn't sound effects. That was a Coke.
I'm no longer thirsty.
You're so out of here.
Coca-Cola, open happiness.
Not just political, not just lifestyle, but always relevant. See and hear it first at dnewman.org.
Before we get into the closing section of today's show, let me talk to you about tomorrow, something that I think everyone is going to love and look forward to, and that is some new, very relevant news regarding the investigation of Russian collusion in all things campaign of Donald J. Trump, Robert Mueller and the likes. There are some new breaking information, very interesting details. You're going to have to wait, but make sure you tune in tomorrow. Don't miss tomorrow's audio blog. Let me give you the best way to make sure you don't miss it. Go to the front page of the website where you clicked on this audio blog arrow today. Down at the bottom right-hand side, there's a place to put your email address in. If you'll do that, here's what's not going to happen. We won't try to sell you anything. You won't get any mass emails. Nobody, absolutely nobody, but dnewman.org will have access or get access to your email address. What you will get is anytime a new written story or audio blog goes up, late that night, about 1:45 a.m. Central Time, you'll get an email that includes a link, a notification that there's a new blog post or a new blog podcast up on the website. If you click on that link, whenever you click on it, it'll take you right to the story. You won't even have to go to a different page. So take advantage of that. Make sure you don't miss it. At any event, don't miss tomorrow's podcast. Some great new breaking information that you're probably not going to hear about on any of the mainstream media outlets. Now I've got you thinking. Good. Come back tomorrow. Going to close today's bullet point, Thursday bullet points this week, with 10 really noteworthy notes. And speaking of going to the homepage of the website, you're probably going to want to copy and paste these from there. I'll read them to you. There are 10 of them, like I said. feel free to copy and paste and share these things, because there's some pretty good nuggets in these 10. Number one, in my many years, I have come to a conclusion that one, useless man is a shame, two, is a law firm, and three or more is a Congress. That quote comes from President John Adams. Number two, if you don't read the newspaper, you are uninformed. If you do read the newspaper, you are misinformed. From Mark Twain. Number three, also from Mark Twain, suppose you were an idiot, and suppose you were a member of Congress, but then I repeat myself. Number four, I contend that for a nation to try to tax itself into prosperity is like a man standing in a bucket and trying to lift himself up by the handle. Winston Churchill. Number five, a government which robs Peter to pay Paul can always depend on the support of Paul. That from playwright George Bernard Shaw. Number six, a liberal is someone who feels a great debt to his fellow man, which debt he proposes to pay with your money. G. Gordon Liddy. Number seven, democracy must be something more than two wolves and a sheep voting on what to have for dinner. James Bovard, civil libertarian from 1994. Number eight, foreign aid might be defined as a transfer of money from poor people in rich countries to rich people in poor countries. That from Douglas Casey, a classmate of Bill Clinton at Georgetown University. Number nine, giving money and power to government is like giving whiskey and car keys to a teenage boy. P.J. O'Rourke said that. P.J. O'Rourke is another one of those civil libertarians. They come up with some really good ideas, don't they? The final one, number 10. Government is the great fiction through which everybody endeavors to live at the expense of everybody else. Frederick Bastiat, French economist from 1801. Hey, thanks for joining us at dnewman.org. Don't miss tomorrow's show. Don't miss the post. Log in at dnewman.org with your email. You'll never miss another one. Have a great day.
Just because you think something's right doesn't mean it's right. Just because you think something's wrong doesn't mean it's wrong. But always get the truth about right and wrong here at dnewman.org.